You just love God, isn't he? So wonderful. Somebody must love him.
Amen. You've been thinking about him there.
Come on, do you not love him tonight?
Amen.
You know, we're talking about his love for us, but you know, God's love for us is a two-way thing. We're to love him. Come on, it's true. We have to fall. You know, the day I met Jesus, I fell in love with him. When I fell in love with the one that went to the cross and gave his all, suffered a horrible death because of his great love for me. And you know, his love never falters. And it never, never fails. And his love is as sure today as it was in the beginning of time, as it always was, always will be. God's love never changes. That he would give his only son to die for a sinner like each one of us. But you know, we're talking about this morning, what I was sharing this morning, who we are in God, who we are in Christ, that we're conquerors, we're heirs, we're joint heirs with the Father. But you know, we have a battle to fight. Well, you know it or not, there's a war going on. It's a war between the carnal man and the spirit man. You know, don't be surprised one bit when the enemy tries to keep you out of a building that you know that God wants you to be in. You know, come on, whose report do you believe? You know, do you believe God's report? Or do you believe the report of man? And you know, the Bible teaches us much about the battles that we have to fight. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we don't wrestle. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and evil spirits. Come on! That's who our enemy is. And guess who he's after? Us! Now he can't come in and attack us if we keep the door closed for him to come in. Isn't that right? Now, you know, I see people, and as we say, we minister to people, and we talk to people and tell them of the love of Christ, and you know, and as they come into church, and you know, they're all happy, clappy, dancy, dancy, and then they see them in church. Boom. Because they let the world pull them down. And we shouldn't do that, because, you know, you know what I want to talk about tonight? Vain imaginations. Vain imaginations. You know, we have people come to us and say, oh, you know, my mother died, someone died of cancer, and I think I'm taking it, I have the symptoms she has. Or my father died of a heart attack when he was certain such an age, and I'm not aged just now, and, you know, I think I'm going to take it. You know, vain imaginations takes over what God has planted in our spirit. Come on, it's real. And here, I want to share with you tonight and a precious bit of scripture here. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Paul, ministering to the church at Corinth this time on this stage, and there were false teachers come into the church. Come on, there are false teachers in the church today. There are teachers who tell you, oh no, this is not for today, God doesn't heal today, God doesn't save today, you know, God's a good God. Did you ever hear it? God will not put anybody to hell. Let me tell you, God will not. But we have a choice where we want to go. We have a choice of how we want to live. We have a choice of how we want to go on with God. And you know whose choice it is? It's ours. That's one thing God never took from any man. He gave him a free will. Each one of us have a free will to live according to God's word, to live in the fullness of life, to live in the, above the realms of the wicked one, to live under the open heaven that God has given us, you know. And people will say, oh yes, great word, great word, great word. When it comes to it, do we believe it? When it comes to a point, come on, has anybody been there, you know, where a point where you... excuse me, when you seem to get to point of no return, a point where maybe pain has overcome, or maybe loneliness has overcome, or maybe your loved one has decided, oh, I don't love you anymore, or whatever. Come on. Have you ever been there? Have you been in a place of severe pain and you just can't take any more? And say, Lord, I can't take any more. That's a good place to be. Because I'll tell you, it's the testing of your faith. It's the testing of your faith that you have been taught and brought in and showed by the Word of God and all the rest of it. I want to read the first six verses in this scripture and then we take a look at it and what God's saying. It says, Now I, Paul, there must be a very small person at this. Can hold on, could you put that up a wee bit for me, darling? Please. I'm almost down my knees to see my Bible here. Amen. Praise God. I know. That'll do lovely. That's great. Amen. I must have been sorry I was standing reading of this. I know. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am base among you, not being absent, I'm bold toward you. Well, I tell you, Paul stood up and he was bold what he believed for God. He was bold that he knew who Christ was. You remember who Paul was now? Come on back to who Paul was. You remember one day he was walking down that road and he was going to take the Christians and imprison them and all the rest of it. And then God stopped them still. Took his eyesight from him. He was blind. Couldn't see. And then he cried out to God. God sent a man, and the man come to him, and he was instantly healed. Paul knew who his God was. He knew who he was in Christ. He knew that he was more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthened him. And he said, I'm going to be bold towards you, but I beseech you, he said. And I'm reading from the King James Bible. I'm sure some of you have different Bibles. He says, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. Wherewith I think to be bold against some that thinketh of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Come on here, this is what Paul's saying. He says, we don't war after the flesh. But he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for this and all opportunity of coming into your presence, of reading your word, of studying your word. And Father, I pray again this evening, as we look at this, your word, I pray, O God, that you will bring revelation knowledge to each one of us. Lord, that the mystery of the gospel will be opened up to us in a new and living way. And we will not walk after the flesh, but we will walk after the obedience of God our Father. And Father, I pray your will be done. Lord, I pray that you'll open up the ears of our understanding, open up our eyes of our understanding, and Lord, take into captivity anything that would pull us down from the truth of God's word. So, Father, just have your way tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Here Paul, again, was talking to the church at Corinth, and, you know, verse 4, he said, the weapons of our warfare are against spiritual forces of wickedness. We go to areas, and have you ever been to an area where there's a real heaviness? No, is it like a real? There's an area in our not far from us, about 10 miles from us or less. And there used to be a lot of devil worship going on, the worship of the devil. I'll give you a story. This young man got saved, and he was one of the head men in the devil worship group. And he had came to our home, and when we went to pray him, he squealed like a rat. Did you ever hear a rat squealing? Maybe you haven't. But if you get a rat cornered, it has a horrible squeal. And when the Bible was opened, he crawled up the corner of the wall. He couldn't get away from the Word of God. Now, that's the power that we have in the Word of God, and that's the power that we have in the spirit realm against the enemy. And this young man got saved until a point that the devil worshippers didn't want him to get saved. They were afraid of the power that God was starting to entrust in this young man. And what they done for 10 miles from his home, 5 miles east side of his home where he lived, they planted these upside down crosses 100 yards apart for 10 miles or something like that. And then he came to our home on this particular night, and it was a healing meeting in our home on a Wednesday night, and people were getting healed and people were getting saved, and he came in when it was nearly over. And Doreen at that point had been leaving one of the girls, one of the ladies who got miraculously wheeled out of a wheelchair back to her home, and he came into our place, literally cut us up, and he started to smoke in our house, and I said, well, I'd prefer you don't smoke. And he was putting out the cigarettes on the back of his hand, and you know, you could see him, he was suffering, but he was letting on he wasn't suffering. You know, he was believing a lie, and his whole hand was all burnt with cigarette butts. And we said to him, look, we don't need to play with fire like that. We got the fire of God. And that made him, you know, that made him really bad. And we prayed with him, and anyhow, and he left. And we got a phone call later on that night, about 1 o'clock in the morning. And he said, where's your wife? I said, she's here. I said, not an accident. And I said, of course you didn't. She's in bed here beside me. Is she not in hospital? I said, no, she's not. Is she not dead? No, she's not. She's very much alive. She's sitting here living testimony. And, you know, this is the type of things you're saying to me. But we had noticed, Doreen had said, and we had noticed something when Doreen came home and said, John, there's something wrong with that car. When I was coming down through the Argy, which is about a mile from us, she said the car around the corner was all over the place. She couldn't control it. And we went out and looked at the car, and there on the front wheel, there were 3 wheel studs missing, and one was on the last thread. And our 2 youngest children at that time were only like 8 and 6 or something like that, or something that age. And he says, you sure? I said, I'm sure. She's here with me. Well, he says, you're not going to see me again. I says, why? He says, I've took an overdose. So, you know, when you get a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning and someone says, I've taken an overdose, and, you know, the police can track back your phone number and all the rest of it, I said, right, I put the forces of the power of God into action, and I rang a friend at that time who didn't live far from him, and he rang the police, and I rang the police, and then the police rang him, and because of that time there were troubles, and they wouldn't have went to the area because of a booby trap or wanted to get cornered and all the rest of it. And finished up, and he says, I'll meet you. I said, I'll go and lift you if you want to. You tell me a place where you want to meet me, and you know me. The police knew this man. And they met the police, and they went to his home. Guess what? The guy was sitting up in bed all right after taking an overdose. Now, that guy's still living today. But I'm telling you about the powers of the evil one. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. But, you know, we've got a Holy Ghost power within us that's able to pull down those strongholds. And that's why we need to keep our lives clean and pure in the Word of God, that we don't lust after the flesh, the things of the lust of the flesh, and all the rest of it, but keep ourselves right in the Word of God. And I'm not talking about warfare tonight. I'm not talking about weapons of the warfare, because I'm going to talk tonight about imaginations. And verse 5, saying, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to to the obedience of Christ. And you see, our thoughts need to be the thoughts of what the Word of God says. Are you with me tonight? Somebody's listening to me. We need to bring our thoughts into the knowledge of the Word of God. If the Word of God says that we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us, what are we? We're more than conquerors. If we are able to pull down the strongholds of Satan, then what can we do? Destroy his works. You know, I looked at King David when he saw this big giant. You all know the story of King David, don't you? Up come this big giant, stood head and shoulders away up above him. And the army of God were afraid of this giant that the Philistines are out. Now this young man, David, he was out tending the sheep from the flock. He was the youngest of his brothers, and then he comes and he says, "Who's this Philistine that defies the army of God? Who is he?" And you know, they tried to put on all the armor, you know, the steel helmet and all, and he was weighed down, and he couldn't use that armor. Do you know why? He never was used to it. He never had it on before. So it weighed him down, and he was bound up. Because he was used protecting the sheep. That was his job. And if the lion come, he killed the lion. If the bear come, he killed the bear. So up comes this big giant, you could say the enemy, and it was the enemy against God's people. And he said to David, "What are you going to bring?" He says, "I'm going to bring what I'm used to. I've got a little sling and a few stones. And I'm going to destroy this giant." And the giant come up and laughed at him and probably let a roar or two at him and made a snigger or two. You know, that's what he does for you. Come on. Hey, who do you think you are? Well, I'm bigger than you. I was here before you were, the devil will say. So I know more than you do. I'll tell you something. He doesn't know the truth. He doesn't know God. He knows about God, but he doesn't know him. Because the Bible tells me there's no truth in him. And of course, what did David do? He put the wee sling in his stone, boom, right to the spot. Down he went. But you see, David just didn't let him lie there. David could come up and he'd climb up on top of him. He took the sword out of him and he cut his head off. Never to rise again. And that's what we're to do with the enemy. When the enemy comes against us, we're to cut his head off that he will never come back near us again. But I'm talking here, folks, we're nearly all older here with the exception of a couple of younger girls. That's for our children as well as it is for us. When we walk, whether we are grandparents or parents, and we walk righteous with God, God, in His Word, tells us that our children, that our children's children, will be blessed if we walk and keep the oracles of God. Amen. So we have to walk in a righteous walk with God. That His righteousness, living in, not our righteousness, because let me tell you, your good works before God are as filthy rags as His righteousness in us. Come on, are you following me? It's God's righteousness, not my righteousness. What righteousness have I? I have no righteousness, but I've got His righteousness. I have nothing that would cleanse me from sin. The only thing that cleanses me from sin is the blood of His precious Son that is shed abroad in our hearts. So it's not good works that's going to do these works. It's the pulling down of the forces of the enemy. And I want to look for a moment of time and take a few notes down and casting down imaginations. If I get tongue-tied, forgive me. Forming a picture in the mind of things. Forming a picture in the mind of things not present to the senses. Think of that for a moment. Our imagination is forming a picture in our mind of things that are not present. You know, have you ever wondered, or you know, have you ever been there? Come on, I'm thinking, I wonder what I'm going to do tomorrow. You know, I've got to build a pay. Will all the forces in the land be after me to pay this bill? Or maybe I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. I wonder what he's going to diagnose. I have a special pastor friend I haven't been talking for a little while who lives in Spain. Good place to have a pastor friend, but he didn't ask me to go on all this. But anyhow. And he took a heart attack, or he took a massive, you know, not a coronary. He had to go and he had to get bypasses done to his heart. I think it was 4 he had. And you know, he's a man of God and a man that's always above. You know, he's never below. When you meet him, he's always happy, he's always jolly. He knows who his God was. And he says, well, you know, they told him that, they told his wife that his chances of pulling through it were very slim. That's how bad he was, that's how sick he was. So, of course, you know, everybody around him was wondering, is he going to be all right? And, you know, come on, that's how people think. And I rang him just a couple of weeks after he had been through his operation. I says, well, brother, what did they say about you? Oh, he says, they opened up my heart and they saw Jesus and they closed me up again. Come on now, come on. If they open up your heart, are they going to see Jesus? Is he in control of your whole body, of your whole being, of everything in your life? Or is he just someone that you have in a wee box in the pocket? And whenever you're hurting or things are hard, you take him out and say, right, Jesus, I need you. You see, he's ever with us. And he never leaves us. I've got to go on here. Forming a picture in the mind of things not present to the senses leads people to think they see, hear, or feel things that are not there. That's what vain imaginations do. Makes you feel or hear or see things that are not there. You know, I've seen it so often. People, I think I got a demon in me. Let me tell you, if you're covered by the blood of Jesus and you're walking in the power of God, no devil or no demon's going to come near you. Come on! Is that right or is it wrong? No devil can come near me, because I'll tell you something. Well, we had someone come and prophesy to us from America. I haven't saw him in years and years now. I haven't heard tell from him. And he came into our house and he started talking. I said, what's this guy saying? He says, John and Doreen, your names are written up in hell. I said, God, you know, what's he thinking? No, the mind started to think, my name's in hell? And I says to myself, you know, thinking to myself, how's my name in hell? So my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on. Oh, he says, aye, the devil has up on the wall to his demons, beware of John and Doreen Greenaway. Does the devil know about you? Or is he walking all over you? Come on. Being imaginations destroy the power of God that's working within you. You know, it leads people to think and see and hear or feel things that are not there. Bringing into captivity every evil thought. Now, our thought, man, is very important. Well, you know it or not, you'll be judged on the thoughts as much as the things you say or speak. Lost all the rest of them. We'll go into it in a minute. Christian warfare involves bringing all our thoughts into alignment with the will of Christ. Is that right? Bringing all our thoughts into alignment with the will of Christ. Now, the will of Christ may not always line up with what you think or what other people will tell you. And here Paul, let me tell you, Paul was writing this chapter to a church where false teachers had come in and were teaching him wrong teaching. What I'm bringing you to you tonight, I'm bringing you teaching that is lining up with the Word of God. See, the church worldwide has got up into a place almost where they brought the world in, and what the world's doing, they're doing it to get big crowds, and they're not doing what God tells them to do. And in other words, to put it in simple language, pleasing man. I was reading I think it was this week past, of some minister somewhere had got all the people in the town or the area what they would like to see in a church. And they were going to start a church up would please the people. I can tell you now that church will not stand a very short short time. It's Him we search. It's Him that we seek. It's Him that we're to please. God, not man. Failure to do so will result and lead to immorality and spiritual death. Now, I'm not going to read the scriptures tonight. I've taken down scriptures across references. Romans 6, verse 16 and verse 23. And Romans 8, verse 13. I'm going to give you four steps to bring your thought life in line with the Lordship of Christ. Do you want to be in line with the Lordship of Christ? I tell you, friends, that's the safest place that you could be. I think it was yesterday, I lifted a paper somewhere, I don't know where it was, but or where I'd heard it, was that said that scientists have now said they can keep man living for probably 1,000 years. They didn't say God was going to do it. They said they were going to do it. Who would want to live down here? And I'm coming 70 shortly. Who would want to live to be 900 years old? You know, come on. I can't wait that long to meet Jesus. Yeah, I'm not going to die. I'm not talking about death. I'm going to live for eternity. When I leave here, I'm just changing my address. And if you want to find me, it's the house on the hill in Golden Street in heaven. Amen. That's my new address when I leave here. Come on, do you believe that? He's going to prepare a mansion for us. And it's in Golden Street. The streets are paved with gold. And it's in heaven. Amen. Better get to these 4 points. First and foremost, be aware that God knows every thought and nothing is hidden from Him. Do you believe that? Nothing hidden from God? God told us in His Word, you can't even create a nicer thought. He's the creator of all things. Every part of you. Every thought that you think, He is the creator. If you want the scripture, Psalm 94, verse 11. Psalm 139, verse 2, and verse 4, and verse 23, and verse 24. We will have to give an account, I've already said this, to God, for our thoughts, as well as for our words and our deeds. You'll find that in chapter 5 and verse 10 of 2 Corinthians. And Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 14, Matthew 12 verse 35 and 37, and Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. You see, when you say something or preach something, you need to back it up with the Word of God. When you speak something, it has to line up with God's Word. Everything that we say and do lines up with God's Word. Second point, be aware that the mind is a battleground. Did you know your mind's a battleground? You know, I hear people say, oh boy, I love to read the Word of God. I can read it day and night. I have a battle when I go to read the Word of God. You know, as soon as I say in my home or think in my home, I'm going to get the Bible and I'm going to read it, guess what happens? The phone rings. Somebody comes to the door. Is Daddy there? Is Granda there? John, what are you doing? Come on. It's a battleground. Did you ever notice when you want to pray or you're in the middle of prayer, your phone will ring or somebody will shout, are you there? There's always a battle going on that we have. And we don't even think of it that way. Some thoughts originate with us, and others come from the enemy. You know, as we minister to a lot of people, and we're seeking the Lord and asking God, because I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe that God will give us words of knowledge. I believe in words of knowledge. I think one of the most important gifts that is missing in Pentecostal circles. Come on. Did you catch it? We're using the church like a circus. Is it discerning of spirits? We don't discern the spirits. Remember a young girl, early teens, 18-year-old, come to our home one day. And I'll tell you, if you ever saw that girl, beautiful girl, picture, would have broke your heart. I'm talking reality. And all she says, I'm depressed, and this has only come on me about 3 weeks ago. Oh, I says, I waited on God. I said, come on, tell me the story. Tell me what the story is. And this is a true story, friends. Girl was applying for her first job. And she was one of the girls in the church that you know, was done everything in a big church. She was a good worker. She was always there. She was available to God. She was a pure and a righteous young girl. And guess who? The minister who was going to write her who she was, a what?
Reference.
Who had children, girls of her own age, of his own, got her into the room, abused her. Now, let me tell you, say that man was from the devil, yes it was. This man was an evangelistic man who preached the gospel. We had to pray with that young girl and put our arms around her and love her. Life destroyed, you must say. This is the world. Come on in, sit down. This is the world we live in. Even you're a Celtic fan. Come on in. This is the reality of the world we live in. Some thoughts, I'll say it again, originate with us, and others come from the enemy. We have to fight against both our sinful nature and satanic forces. There are areas of this land where there seems to be no move of God and people are not getting saved. Ministers are burning themselves out. People are praying on their knees. But we need to come against the forces of the evil one to break that stronghold that he has. Satan's got strongholds. Come on, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Matthew 4, 3 to 11. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4 just for a second. For a moment, turn to it. Matthew chapter 4. verse 3 to 11. Here, you know, isn't Jesus a good one to listen to? Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And the tempter came to Jesus and said, if, you notice he didn't say, here, you're the Son of God. He said, if you be the Son of God. This is the devil, this is Satan himself. Come to Jesus. If you be the Son of God, command that these stones shall be made bread. But he, that's Jesus, answered and said, it is written. How do you answer the enemy when he comes in? Tell him what the Word of God says. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the God. Then the devil taketh him up unto the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle in the temple, and said, oh, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. How did Jesus answer him? It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Boy, I tell you, sometimes the devil doesn't know when to back off. Because again he tempted Jesus. The third time. And it says, and the devil taketh them up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed them all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory in them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give you, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And I want to tell you now, Satan's got the power. The enemy, Satan could have said, right, you come down, Jesus, I'm going to give you these. Jesus would have fell into the hands of the tempter. But again, Jesus answered, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, again he said it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Who do we serve? We serve God, don't we? Well, if you're in this church and you don't believe that, you should be listening to what the pastor's saying. You should be taking in line what the Word of God says, because I know this man serves God. We don't serve the devil. No, he's our enemy. We serve God. And then again, the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels come and minister unto him. Do you believe in angels? Boy, I do. Because the Word of God tells us that angels will take charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Psalm 91. Amen. His angels will take charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Resist and reject every evil and unwholesome thoughts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 verse 7. Somebody turn to it and read it for me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul talking to the church at Philippi. But guard your heart and mind. That's your mind. Not only your heart, but your mind also. See, sometimes we'll read it and we'll say, oh, Jesus said, you know, he's got our hearts, but he also guards our mind. Third point. We overcome the enemy. What by? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. See, your testimony stands before God. God knows your heart. He knows your thought, and he knows your testimony. Or by persistently saying no to the devil, and no to the temptation of sin. You know what? the churches over the years have made it so easy for people to go into sin and then come back in again. But we need to persistently say, no, I'm not allowing sin to enter into my heart. Nor the thought of sin has no right in my life. And persistently, constantly saying, no, devil, I don't believe you. You are a liar and the father of lies. And I don't believe you. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is my Savior and He's my friend. And let him know that God gives His angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Let them know that round about, it was said here this morning, and underneath are the everlasting arms of a loving Father, of a precious Savior. He's all right. He's understanding what I'm saying. A few scriptures you want to look up and check that out that have said Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. James 4, verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'd flee from you. Amen. Revelation verse chapter 12, verse 11, and Matthew 4, 3 to 11, which we read. Third point. Keep focusing your mind on Christ and heavenly things. You hear me? Keep focusing your mind on Christ and heavenly things. Well, Jesus said, and I said it this morning, and I said it again, when he taught his disciples the prayer, Our Father, said, let your will be done where? On earth, as it is in heaven. Keep your eyes on heavenly things. Oh, I've heard people saying, oh, John, that's not for today's church. Yes, it is for today's church. Oh, that's going to come after Jesus comes back and we get the new life and all the rest of it. No, it's for you today. It's for the church today, the body of Christ, that we keep our minds and keep our thoughts on heavenly things on our Christ. Keep focusing your mind on Christ, on heavenly things, not on earthly things. People will say, oh, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if I had £1 million in the bank and I had a new car and a nice home and I wouldn't have to work anymore? Let me tell you, some of the most unhappy people are people who are well off. Come on. Look at some of these billionaires and millionaires who have taken their lives, who can't handle it because they're having their eyes focused on Christ. We need to keep our eyes not on earthly things but on heavenly things. Philippians 3:19 and Colossians 3:2. For the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. Christ come to give you what? Life and life more abundantly. That's why Christ come. And you know, Christ had to come. Jesus had to send His Son. I was going to speak on this tonight, and I changed my sermon earlier. I was going to teach about when Jesus, you remember, just before He went to the cross, He said, look, to the disciples, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you into all truth, and He will teach you the things to come. And He says, if I don't go to be with my Father, I can't send you the Holy Spirit. And then after He rose from the dead, remember, He walked down the road with His disciples. And He said, He breathed on them. He said, receive you the Spirit. Now that receiving at that time, I'm sure you know about it, was the Spirit of Christ that entered in them. It was the new birth, the born again birth. But Jesus said, you know, when you come together, I'm going to, in the upper room, man, there, He says, I'm going to send down the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which fills you with the Holy Spirit, that the gifts in the church and all will be operational. And they should be. Prophetic words and all the things when someone is sick or there's a wrong spirit around that we can discern it or we're able to deal with that. God doesn't leave us with our two arms down in our pockets. He gives us strength, He gives us power to do the work of the ministry. Not right. Paul talked about that, the work of the ministry. I'm not getting into that tonight, but I'm telling you that. For the mindset is in the Spirit is life and peace, Romans 8, verse 6 and 7. Fill your mind with God's Word. That's why it's important. When I got saved, I had to fill my mind. I soaked in my mind the Word of God. I read it day and night, and I don't know how many times I read the Bible over, and soaked in the Word of God. Because if the Word of God's not in, the Holy Spirit can't bring it to your remembrance. But right? And when you have read the Word of God, and the Word of God is in there, it's written in your heart. Where does the Word of God be written? It's written on your heart. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance His Word. Let you know who you are in God. So it's important to read the Word of God. So very important. Fill your mind with God's Word. Well, come on, read Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 19, verse 7 to 14. And Psalm 119. And with those things which are noble, excellent, and praiseworthy. Philippians 4, verse 8. Fill your mind with those things that are noble, that are praiseworthy. Amen. That we know what the truth is. Come on and preach to the converted tonight, aren't you? You're born again, spirit-filled Christian tonight. You know, I'm This message didn't realize it's coming after the one I spoke this morning, who we are in Christ. That we can stand against the works of the enemy. That we can destroy the works of the enemy. And cast them down. You know, I've prayed so often, oh, come Lord Jesus, surely come. You know what Jesus said? Come on church, arise up. There's a few more out there who need to get saved. Need to be brought into the kingdom. Come on, they need to come. The enemy's got a stronghold on them. You've got the power. We've got the power. You've got the power to break the strongholds of Satan that's holding back our loved ones. Those that are near and dear to us. We need to pull down those strongholds. We've got, in this world that we live in with the things that are happening and you know, the comfort zones that we have in life's journey, and people have no time for God. They're probably watching Axe Factor or whatever at the minute, and no time to go to church. Come on, yeah. In our church, I can tell, and I don't watch sport much, but I can tell when Man United's playing. Come on. I can tell when Liverpool's playing, because there are people who follow Man United, and there are people who follow Liverpool, and there are many people who do other things, and I can tell. There must be on television. Comfort zone. Put all things before God, don't we? We shouldn't. We should take time to be holy and time to be with God. And the last point I want to bring you tonight. At all times, be careful what your eyes see and your ears hear. Be careful what your eyes see and your ears hear. Temptation always comes by what your eyes see or what your ears hear. The enemy, you know, you'll see something maybe that looks good and it looks cheap, and you'll go and buy it. You know, I hear women saying, oh, I've seen a great bargain in clothes. Or men saying, I've seen a great bargain, a good car down the road, but I'd like it. You know when a bargain's a bargain? When you need it. Oh, well, somebody we know, who is it, and they have someone like 600 pair of shoes, some woman. How could you wear 600 pair of shoes, not even in one day, not even in a week? You know, or maybe 100 dresses, you know, I can only wear one shirt. Boy, I've got, hey, brother, hey, I happen to do what, see, when I'm at home, I have to say something to catch their attention. But we've got it here tonight. And I don't wear dresses. Just in case you thought there was a spirit of lust or someone in there. Well, let me tell you, we live in a world today where men are sleeping with men, and women are sleeping with women. Well, I read in my Bible about Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened. And do you think God has changed, Anna? He hasn't. He's still God. He's a God that changes not. So heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. It's written for eternity. You cannot change it. You cannot add to it. Nor can you take away from it. Nor can you change it. Because His word is eternal. And anyhow, God is not a man that He should lie. And if it's God's word, God can't lie. Or is He the Son of Man, should He repent? And has He said it? And will He not do it? Yes, He will. He's our God that we're talking about. He's our God that we're singing about tonight. He's our Father in heaven who loves us with an everlasting and an endless love. Amen. Refuse to let your eyes be an instrument for lust. Job 31:1. 1 John chapter 2 verse 16. Don't let any worthless or evil thing before your eyes. You say, oh, I wouldn't let that happen. Well, I can't be with you all the time, nor can I judge you, nor is it my job to judge you. But how can we stop these evil things coming before our eyes? Let me give you just a few examples and search your heart tonight. Search your heart tonight. If this speaks to any of you. Anybody here read magazines? There are some magazines that are filthy and rotten. When we shouldn't let them before our eyes. Anyone else watch pictures? Well, here's a big one here. Anybody watch television in here? Or other programs? So real in our life today. You might laugh at this one. But there's a man of God back where we live, and this past, I think it was just about a week ago. What do you call the singer doing? That came into the cornfield.
Rihanna.
I don't know her. And they asked him, could they use his cornfield to do some filming? And he said, yes, you can use it. It's not a problem. And they didn't make any deals or anything with her. But she started to strip. They said, that's not happening on my land. Off it. Come on. If somebody wanted to use your garden... This is reality. For Rihanna to come to make a film before stripping, would you let them if you're getting a few thousand? Somebody's saying no, but the truth is, if you're tempted, would you really say no? Come on. This is real life, folks, we're living. Reality tonight. God is a real God. He's not a God that's afar off. He's a God that's here right now. And He knows your thoughts, and He knows the lust of your heart, and He knows everything about you. Psalm 101, verse 3. Isaiah 33, verse 14, 15. And Romans 13, verse 14. I want to tell you tonight, we as Christians... who live a holy and a righteous life, and people might say, you're a holy Joe or whatever. We have the victory in Jesus. Victory over all the works of the enemy. And this is real life. Because, you know, sad to say, I see Christians, so many Christians, cut off the face of the earth long before their time. Not all the time that I can say, honestly say, but mostly because of sin. But sin, do you see, has dominion over you. Has. We were just left a home before we came here, and the man's son, his best friend. The man's son. Are you listening to me, sir? You listening to me? Listening to me. A good man. The man's son's best friend was on a motorbike, and he crashed into two cars, smitten dead, 40-year-old. He got himself into that many problems. They don't know whether it was a genuine accident, or they don't know whether it was whether he took his life or what. With four young kids under the age of five. No father. Twins at 3-year-old. No father. A young woman. No husband. Smitten. Off the face of this earth. Can we blame God? We can't blame God. But we can blame someone. The devourer. The enemy. Who's out to kill. And steal. And destroy. But you know, God loved that man. Right up to the end. And I don't know. I can't judge. I hope and pray that I will see him in heaven. I don't know. But if he didn't accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, then I want to tell you, he's in a lost eternity. Do you know Jesus personally tonight? Do you know him as your protector? As your Savior? As your friend. Put your trust in him tonight. This world has nothing to offer. Absolutely nothing. But Jesus has everything to offer. Will you give your heart to him tonight? If you don't know him, will you give your whole life to him tonight? Everything. Will you trust him tonight? You know, my kids trust me. Three boys. The oldest one is coming 40, and the youngest one's 31, and a daughter 29. Our boys want anything. Are they getting it, you know, tight, and they want to make a decision? Guess who they come to? Come to Daddy. Even at 40-year-old, my son, my eldest son, come to Daddy looking at advice just a couple of days ago. Do you know why? Because he knows that I will give him the best advice that I know. He knows me. And you know what? I was his daddy. From he was a baby, and I'm still his daddy when he's a man. And I've got a name. I was christened John. My daddy called me John. My mommy called me John. My brothers, my sister, my aunts, my uncles, everybody called me John. And I'm still John today.
They called you John?
They called me John. That's my name. But guess, John. Do you know what, John? Do you know who I am? I'm a child of God. Amen. God still loves me as a child. Not wonder. I know so. I know so that God is my Father. I know in my heart that God loves me. God gave his heart, his only son, all he had, to die on a cross. For me. Do you love him tonight? Can you trust him tonight?
Yes, Lord, amen.
Does your mind, do you have the mind of Christ? Because the Word of God tells us to let the mind of Christ be in you. Jesus living in your heart. I'll tell you, it's a great mystery, but it's been revealed. How could God, a loving Father, not love His children? And He loves you with an everlasting love. Amen. Father, I thank You again tonight for Your precious Word. Father, I thank You that Your Word is truth and Your Word never fails. Thank You, Father God, that Your Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Holy Spirit, I ask You, as these dear people have been under my Word and under Your Word tonight, and been listening and taking in what You're saying, I pray, O God, that You will protect them against the evil one. I plead a hedge around each one, covered by the blood of Jesus. And Father, I ask You to give Your angels charge over them, to keep them and each one of us in all Your ways. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.